So as worship generations where, you know, the youth come out, we get to celebrate God's glory. We're going to look at I don't know how far we're going to get into chapter 6, but we're going to look at chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. Let's look to the Lord. Lord, we come to you, and Father, I ask that you would pour out your Spirit, Lord, that your word would be manifested, that we would be able to chew it over and to digest it, Lord, that we would feel full of your good food, Lord. And I ask that you'd put a guard over my mouth, that I wouldn't say anything, Lord, that's not of you, and that your love would flow through, and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. The first little part of Timothy, chapter 6, talks about bondservants. Now, we don't have slavery like they had slavery, but, you know, when I was in school, I definitely felt like I was a slave. So, I mean, let's read. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own master worthy of all honor, so that the name of the Lord and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. You know, those of us that have jobs or those of us in school, when we sit down, you know, in our classroom, and we should give honor to the teacher, or when I go to work, I should give honor to my boss. We are a light, a representation of Christ. And it's like, I have a lot of fear coming up here because I'm representing Christ, and it's like, I don't want to mess that up. But I don't have that same fear as much as I should when I go to work. And I know I didn't have that fear when I was going to school. You know, we should have a fear of representing Christ. We don't want to be poor representations of Christ. Continuing on in verse 2, builds off that. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. Those of you that have, I don't know, Christian teachers or Christian bosses. I worked for a Christian, you know, and I didn't respect him as much as I should. The benefit of giving him honor and working for him benefits the church, benefits our beloveds and those around us in the body of Christ. So we should honor those teachers and those, you know, bosses that we have, you know, but we should give more honor to those that are Christians. You know, giving them honor, following them, that we would represent Christ. As Christ came, he lived, and he followed his Father. He followed God, and he did not waver in that, and we should not waver and misrepresent him. You know, we should live rightly, live holy before God, and not try to displease man. Verse 3, if anyone teaches otherwise, do not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness. If someone comes along and teaches something other than what the Bible has to say, or twists what the Bible has to say, you know, the Bible says that he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes, arguments over words, from which envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions come from. You know, you get these guys that come up and say, you know, you can do this. You know, this is what the Bible teaches, and they're twisting it. It's real important that we don't get off from what the Bible has to say, and that we should follow it and not go astray. And though there are those out there, there are many people that would, you know, come to your door and say that Jesus isn't part of the Trinity, and there's many of those that believe that you get your own planet when you die, and, you know, there's some outlandish things that people are going to tell you to believe, but we should follow what God has to say and what his word has to say. And, you know, if we follow after these false doctrines, there's, you know, envy, strife, reveling, evil, you know, evil suspicions, you won't have peace in your life. Let's see, verse 5. Using wrangling of men of corrupt minds and dispute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. For such, withdraw yourself. You know, there's the name and claim it doctrine. You can, you know, I prayed for a brand new car and, you know, God blessed me with a brand new car. I prayed for a gold ring and God blessed me with a gold ring. You know, there's the name and claim it doctrine, a way to use faith to get rich. That's not what the Bible teaches. You know, the Bible teaches in verse 6, now godliness with contentment is great gain. We should be content where God puts us. Paul said, you know, I was content in all things, and you know, when I had lots of food or little food. Jason said, I'll be content in any state I'm in, even Michigan. You know, we should be content where God puts us. You know, and it's like we shouldn't strive after other things. I just got a brand new little baby, and you know, I want a little camera. God blessed me with this camera, but I'm thinking, man, it's from the 80s. You know, I have to buy, you know, film. You know, so I'm like, I'm lusting after like these brand new cameras that cost so much money, and it's like, it's foolishness. I should be content with the camera that God blessed me with. It's a very good working camera. You know, I should be content. Follow after godliness, not striving after riches. One person wrote, you know, work in faith, not letting your faith, or I'm going to mess that up, I didn't write it down, never mind. But we should be content. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. You know, my little kid did not come with anything but her. she didn't bring anything, you know. She brought me lots of joy and lots of love, but she didn't take any, you know, she didn't come with a $100 bill in her hand saying, hey, look, you know, we don't take anything out of this world. We didn't bring anything in this world. But we do have treasures outside of this world. We, you know, we can send them forward. We can't take them with us, but we can't use FedEx to mail them to heaven. But we can follow after godliness and trust in God and work for Him, and we'll store up treasures in heaven. Where it says that moth and rust won't destroy. True riches. And having food and clothing, and having food and clothing with these things, we should be content. I don't go hungry. You know, I should be happy where I'm at. And too often I see, like, you know, things drive by. I'm like, ooh, man, that's a nice car. It's like, you know. But I drive a BMW. I don't drive a Lotus. But, you know, I should be content where God has put me. And all the things that God is doing to me, I shouldn't complain or grumble or mumble on. I should be happy and content where God has put me. It's a glorious thing what God's doing in my life if I really step back and I thank Him for it instead of striving for earthly things, things that go amiss. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptations and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. When you strive after riches, if that's your main goal, if that's what you're living for is to become rich, you drown yourself. You know, you can overwork yourself, you know, where you don't sleep, you don't eat. You could finally make money and then spend it real foolishly and get things that just cause trouble. You know, you could fall into, it says, various lusts. You know, you could lust after women, lust after cars, lust after houses, lust after carpet, although I haven't done that one. But you can lust after many different things, various lusts. And money opens the doors to a lot of that because Satan sets it up that way. Oh, you have to have money. You need money to survive. And then once you have money, you know, Satan sets it up, oh, you could get this thing, you could get that thing. And you don't even need to get money. They pass out plastic little cards that say, look, we'll give you money for you. You know, you get into trouble. You truly drown in it, and it drags you down. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, or the root of all evil. It depends on which translation you read, for which some have strayed from their faith in their greediness. It's a strong pull. Being, you know, rich You can kind of like stand up straight, or you don't need to like be a servant. Although Christ has called us to be a servant, so it's not healthy to have that mentality, as we will touch on later in the chapter. But, you know, it's, you know, a strong root. The money will solve many problems, but it will not last. It won't solve happiness. It won't solve the problem of your sin. It won't solve, you know, it won't make you happy. You can have all the money in the world, and you can't have the joy that Christ gives you. And then, after saying this, Paul encourages Timothy, saying, you know, okay, there's, you know, money, you have to be afraid of money. You have to be afraid of those with false doctrine. You know, you should step away from these things. You know, you should be really content. And then he encourages Timothy. But you, O man of God, flee these things. Flee from the various lusts and flee from money. Live right. Flee from these things and pursue. So we should stop chasing after money or the various lusts or thinking about all the things that you can do and all the things that are corrupt. But we should follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. You know, what good characteristics? It's the characteristics that we should follow after. What is in our heart? We should, in our heart, put godliness, the mystery of godliness, faith, love. You know, we should be full of God's love. You know, patience, gentleness. A gentle answer turns away wrath. You know, we shouldn't be striving after our own will or going after our own way, but we should, you know, have gentleness and love in our heart. We should fight a good fight of faith. You know, we're in a war. We can, you know, run, you know, one way for, you know, all the different riches and glory. We can rack up our credit cards. We can make, you know, a mess in school. We can, you know, kid around, get, you know, bully people around, take people's lunch money. We can run one way, you know. We could run that same way in our heart and even live the other way. But it's the heart, it's the characteristics that God is after. God is after that we would follow godliness, patience, righteousness, faith, love, and that we would fight a good fight of faith, hold on to eternal life. We should have our mindset as my riches are in heaven. It's one of the things that in James says won't pass away. There's the riches in heaven that is stored up for us will not ever pass away. The redemptive qualities of Christ Jesus won't pass away, and his word will not pass away. We should lay hold of eternal life. That's our goal, our aim, you know, is to set our heart on eternal life. What happens here today or tomorrow is only for today or tomorrow, but eternal life is eternity. You know, hold on to it. To which we are also called and have confessed, a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You know, we should confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. You know, in our heart, in our mind, and in our actions. In front of many people, we should be able to stand up and say, I am a Christian, I am saved by blood, I'm going to eternity. I urge you, now Paul continues to urge Timothy, I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. Christ held his tongue and gave a good confession before Pontius Pilate. Are you the King of Kings? My kingdom is not of this age. Christ gave a good confession before Pontius Pilate. We should hold our tongues. We should give a good confession before men and before God. That you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until the Lord Jesus Christ appears. We should keep God's word to the best of our ability, without spot. Without little sections in our school, okay, well, this class I can goof off in, and I can, you know, it says we should be, you know, bondservants under the yoke, count their masters worthy. Well, in history class, I don't need to worry about that. Or, you know, that doesn't apply to the, I work with different people, but that doesn't apply with Ali, one of the guys. You know, that doesn't apply with the different people we have over us. Of course it does. We should keep it without spot. We should keep God's commandment without spot. We shouldn't let anything interfere with our love fest that we have with Christ. You know, we shouldn't let, you know, lust toward women get in the way with our relationship with God. We shouldn't let lust toward cars, or lust toward attention, or lust toward money, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. We shouldn't let these things get in the way. We should fight a good fight of faith. We should lay hold of eternity. We should keep God's commandment without spot, blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ appears. And He's coming soon. Which He will manifest His own time. Well, which He will manifest in His own time. He who is the blessed and I have trouble reading words like this. This is a long one. Potentate. I looked this one up. Potentate. But I still couldn't pronounce it. He who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. In Revelation, you know, He's the beginning and the end. The Alpha, the Omega. You know, God's coming back soon. He, or who alone, has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, who no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. There's, you know, the sun. My mom always said, don't look at the sun, so I would look at the sun. I was an obedient child. I was very disobedient. You know, there's lights that we can look at and will burn our eyes. But we can't even look at the light and the power and the majesty of God or Jesus. You know, He has eternity wrapped up in His hands. And He has all everlasting power and honor. And with that, He chose to save us. So we should lay hold of eternity. We should fight a good fight of faith. We should look at our characteristics. We shouldn't be living one way and acting another. We should be striving after or pursuing righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. These are characteristics that we should be going forward, not striving after things and getting discontent where we're at, getting, you know, frustrated and angry that, you know, I'm not doing so well with hydraulics, but I should be striving after electronics or something. No, we should be pleased where God has put us. We should be obedient to those in authority over us. And then, since there's only a couple more verses, let's finish it up. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the loving God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. I've never been rich, but, you know, with what God gives us, we should freely give. And I don't do that, unfortunately, as much as God has asked me to. But it is true, we should give. We should be a channel to God's blessing. You know, and God gives us, you know, His riches to enjoy. He gives us our blessings to enjoy. In Psalms, Psalm 62, I believe. In Psalm 62:10, you know, don't trust in riches. It's basically the last part of 62:10. Psalms 84:11, no good thing will He withhold. If we line ourselves with Christ and don't strive after riches, don't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, and we should, you know, be a channel for God's blessing that He could flow through us. You know, He will give us everything that we need to enjoy. And we should be content to where He has put us now. You know, with godliness and contentment is great gain. There's something valuable about that. Let them do good that they be rich in good works, ready to give and to share. Again, you know, we should share with those things that God has given us. You know, that we would be rich in good works, not rich in money. Money isn't going to last. I think One guy said that it's like playing musical chairs, except instead of lacking one chair for the players, they're lacking one per 10 players. There's a lot of chairs missing when you play with money. You run out, and it's a slippery slope. Nothing there to hold on to, but Christ gives us, you know, we should hold on to eternal life. Store up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Again, we should hold on to eternal life. We shouldn't look at what we can gain from this day and age, or how we can, you know, get more things that we can't hold on to. But we should lay in heaven our goal. We should be storing riches in heaven, storing eternal life. That's where we should be striving for. That's where God wants us to end up, with Him in eternity. And then two more verses real quick. O Timothy, guard what was commanded to you to trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions which of what was falsely called knowledge. You know, we should guard, you know, the things that God has given us. We should protect them. We should take, you know, it's a charge on us. God gives us something. He blesses us with something. We should give it back to Him, but we should be a good steward of it. We shouldn't just let it go to waste. We shouldn't just let it wander. You know, you should look in your life. What has God given you that, you know, He's blessed me with that I haven't taken care of? You know, and not using the knowledge of this world, the knowledge, you know, which is falsely called knowledge. Things, they keep changing their mind of what is right and what is wrong in the world, but God never changes His mind. A guy once said, you know, no one is truly educated until he knows the Bible. You know, we should know true knowledge, not what is falsely called knowledge. We shouldn't be giving to idle blabberings or profane, you know, talk. We should just stick to what is true, the Bible. And then the last verse, by professing is it some have strayed concerning the faith. You know, some have professed knowledge of this world, and it's caused them to stumble. They've strayed from this faith. You know, we shouldn't worry about what the world has to say, what knowledge the world comes up with, or what the world thinks is right, striving after money or riches in this world. We shouldn't be concerned of this world's things or this world's desires, but we should be concerned about God's heart and God's gift to us, and that we should lay hold of eternity. Grace be with you. Amen. Paul's last words is grace to you. You know, we need graces if we're going to fight a fight. You know, oftentimes I lose. I lose every time I step out of the Spirit. You know, I can't fight a fight without the Holy Spirit. We should fight a fight. We should lay hold on eternity. We should change our characteristics to righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. We should be content to where God has put us, not striving after the lusts and the things of this world. So that's the rest part of chapter 6. That's all of Timothy. So let's close in prayer. Lord, I ask that I would and that we would here, Lord, strive and fight for You, fighting a fight, Lord, that is in the Spirit that You have given us, that we would, Lord, our characteristics would be one of You, one, Lord, that is pleasing to You, that we would not stray from the faith for things, Lord, but that we would look to eternity, to where You have called us to. We thank You, Father. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.